Hello, this is Brian Hartron recording for Main Menu. This presentation is going to be about JAWS for Windows scripts and WindowEyes set files. When you install either of these two screen readers, you're also installing lots of configuration files, which are in place to ensure that you get the most from a computing application. However, there are lots of other sets and scripts available from various sources, created by a band of professionals and volunteers. And it's those that I'm going to talk about here. I'll give some background as to why these files are important, why you should back up your existing configuration files if you have them installed, where to get scripts and set files from, and I'll also demonstrate some advantages of using them. This is going to be a very informal discussion, though. I'm not going to tell you everything there is to know about scripts and set files, because frankly I don't know everything, and I'm certainly not going to get technical about it. These files are designed to make it easy for you to use an application, so it seems really silly to get bogged down with lots of technical jargon that you just don't need. So for the next few minutes, let's just enjoy learning about the world of sets and scripts. I've got WindowEyes running at the moment, and I'm sitting in a Microsoft Word document that I've created. What I want to do is to check whether I have underlined a particular part of the text that I'm focused on. To find this out, I'm going to use the WindowEyes cursor to examine the information on the screen. So I'll press the numeric keypad 7 key to advance to the top left-hand part of the screen.
Top left.
And now I'm going to arrow down with the numeric keypad 2 key.
File, edit, view, insert, format, tools, table, wind.
Okay, that's fairly standard. We've got a menu bar at the top of the screen. I'm going to come down a bit further.
New, open, save, print, print preview. Spelling and grammar. Cut disabled. Copy disabled. Paste disabled.
Okay, we've got a toolbar just below that.
Graphic. 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 Upside border. Normal. Normal. Style. I-beam.
We're getting to the meat of it now. I'm still coming down the screen with numeric keypad 2.
Times New Roman. Times New Roman. Font.
We're nearly there.
12. 12. Font size. Bold on. Italic off. Underline off. Left justify on.
Right, there it is. Bold on, italics off, underline off. So I haven't actually italicized that text. Now, what a long process to have to go through just to find out whether you've underlined parts of the text or not. Isn't it a lot easier, from our point of view, and a lot more efficient, if we just press Alt and T?
Normal. Times New Roman. 12. Bold off. Italic off. Underline off.
We get the information practically straight away. Not quite as quick as I would like, as I'll come on to later, but it's a lot faster, isn't it, than examining the contents of the screen with the WindowEyes or JAWS cursor. And that simple example just illustrates to you perfectly how a script or a set file can make us on a level playing field in terms of efficiency with a sighted person. A seeing individual will be able to look at the screen and instantly be able to determine whether the text was underlined or not. And as I say, that's really the purpose of these configuration files, so that we can be as efficient as sighted people in the use of computers. And in some cases, as we'll see later on, we're able to access information and to do things with a computer through the use of these scripts and set files that sighted people cannot even do with the application. Scripts and set files are designed to come into operation when a particular event occurs. This may be, for example, when you move into a dialog box within an application. It could be when you press a keystroke. There are lots of ways scripts or sets can be triggered to speak or perform an action. We've already seen how Alt-T caused WindowEyes to read a specific part of the screen. An example of the usefulness of a JAWS script would be in Outlook Express. Pressing Insert and A automatically moves you to the list of files attached to a message, if there are any. It saves you tabbing all the way over there. Additional verbosity can also be included in a set file or script. It's fair to say that WindowEyes set files are easier to create than JAWS scripts, although there is considerably less power in there, but there is a lot more power than people think and give the screen reader credit for. The JAWS scripting language, on the other hand, is complex and seems to be almost a programming language in itself. But if you are a good script writer, you can practically push the screen reader to its limits to create superb access to an application for blind people. Freedom Scientific, within JAWS for Windows version 4, have gone some way towards creating an environment where a user without scripting knowledge can customize JAWS to speak parts of the screen, for example, through what they call the Frame Viewer, and there is a demonstration of this in a previous main menu archive. Having said all that, the last thing I want to point out in this introduction is that you don't need scripts for every application. They are nice to have, but not altogether necessary in very many cases. Probably the most frequently asked question I see on mailing lists is, I'm thinking of trying out X application. Are there any scripts or set files available for it? While that's a fair question, since these additional files can help, as we've already seen, you should not dismiss an application as being unusable if scripts or sets are not available. Perhaps an article should be produced on the kind of things you should look out for when trying to use an application for the first time. But the WindowEyes and JAWS cursors are valuable tools in this regard, and just pressing the Alt or Context menu keys and browsing the choices will generally yield many options. And in this way, you can also learn of the many shortcut keys which the manufacturer has included by default. So the thing to do is to first try the application for yourself, and if you really cannot access it, ask on one of the mailing lists for help, which you will receive. Before I get on to what is going to be my favourite part of the article, and that's going to be showing off some of the tricks that the scripts and set files can do, I want to give some cautionary notes about backing up your existing scripts. If you're installing scripts and set files for an application that doesn't have any configuration files for it within your screen reader already, then you've really got no problem at all. You can just go ahead and install them, and I'll explain how to do that in a moment. But let's say that you're already using an application. Let's take Eudora as an example, because we're going to demonstrate the merits of some Eudora scripts a little bit later on. Let's say you're already using that. It's a popular email client, so there are JAWS scripts and WindowEyes set files already included in the screen reading package. Someone may come along and say, well, I've developed some set files or JAWS scripts for Eudora, and they contain lots of new improvements. How about giving them a go? See what you think. Well, that's all very nice, and it's great that they've developed these configuration files, but what if you don't like what they've done? What if you don't like the new features and you've got used to the way that the old scripts or sets worked? What if the new scripts don't work on your system? And that is quite possible. There are actually ways of restoring the original JAWS scripts and also the WindowEyes set files. I'm not going to go into those now, but it's a much easier and less troublesome way if you were to back up your existing scripts for an application on a floppy disk or in a separate directory on your hard disk. And then it's no big deal at all just to restore them. It takes just a few seconds to copy the scripts or sets back into the correct directory, and then you can start using them again as if you'd never installed the new scripts, if you understand me. Just to expand on this a bit further, there are lots of people out there creating scripts or set files for different applications. In fact, I'd say that there are more people creating JAWS for Windows scripts than there are WindowEyes set files. But you as a user may not know where these files are coming from. They may not have been tested by Freedom Scientific or GW Micro, obviously. They may not have been tested by an experienced JAWS user. They may not be created by an experienced JAWS or WindowEyes user. Anyone can create these scripts or set files, and how thoroughly they do so obviously depends upon that individual person. So what I'm saying is, you install the scripts or sets at your own risk. If they don't work, then yes, you can let the author know that they don't work, and he or she may be able to suggest some things you could do or could work on developments. Alternatively, though, you'll just have to go back to your old scripts and sets, and that's why it's important to back them up. The other thing to emphasise from a WindowEyes perspective, and this is something I can comment on from quite a bit of experience, is that, unfortunate though it is, WindowEyes does rely extensively on a specific screen layout being in place. Let's say that you're using one of my set files for an application. if your application is not being displayed on your computer in exactly the same way as mine is when I created the set file, you've got a problem. Because WindowEyes, as I say, does rely on information being in exactly the right place for it to report the information that it's meant to. When you create set files, you have to define what are called user windows, and these are specific areas of the screen, and usually when you press a keystroke, that will cause WindowEyes to read out the information that's in the user window. That's a typical example of how a set file will work. Now, if the screen layout is different, then obviously the user window is going to be exactly the same as I created it, so it's going to report inaccurate information, if anything at all. That's why a lot of the set files that I've created for email clients don't work too well, because there are so many screen layouts you can have with email clients, and it's very difficult to predict what a user's tastes are. In fact, it's nearly impossible. For example, in Outlook Express, you can have your list of address book contacts being displayed on the screen, and you can choose not to have that. And there's lots of other things that you can have in both Eudora and Outlook Express, which are two popular email clients. Now, that is a serious drawback as far as I'm concerned with WindowEyes, and that's why the JAWS scripting language is far more desirable if you want to create configuration files to share with other users, because it really doesn't care about screen configuration too much. There are other ways of being able to achieve the same result. So that's just another reason why you would want to back up files, just in case they don't work, and it's very easy to do. I'm going to go into Windows Explorer at this point.
Windows Explorer, list view.
And I'm focused on the C drive at the moment, of course. I'm going to, first of all, have a look at some WindowEyes set files to back up. And in the case of JAWS scripts and WindowEyes set files, if the author's done his job properly, each of the files should have a sensible name so that you can identify it. So I'm going to go into the C:\WinEyes directory, which is where all the WindowEyes set files should be installed. Okay, so I'm going to do that now.
WinEyes.
I'm focused on that. I just type W-I-N-E really quickly. I press Enter.
Windows Explorer. List view. File. Manual.
And I'm going to start looking for the SoundForge set files that I've created. So I'm going to type F-O-R-G.
Forge.we.
And that is the first set file relating to SoundForge 5, okay. And the first one is called forge.we. There must be a .we file with every batch of set files, because that is an association file, and it tells WindowEyes, look, whenever this application loads, load the batch of set files. Okay, so that information is stored in the .we file. So I'm going to hold down the Shift key, and I'm going to highlight successive files by pressing the down arrow key, because they've all got Forge as the basis for the file name. So I'm going to shift down arrow.
Forge 5.000.
That's the next one. Forge 5.000. So these relate to SoundForge 5. So appropriately enough, I've labelled them Forge 5. Okay.
Forge 5.txt. Forge 5am.000. Forge 5cd.000. Forge 5g.000. Forge 5.0.000.
Now, all these relate to specific situations within SoundForge that are important.
Forge 5m.000. Forge 5ma.000. Forge 5s.000. Forge 5v.000. Forge 5o.000. Forge 5w.000. Forge 5w.key. 144.
And that last one, just out of interest, has a dot key file rather than .000 or any figures. A key file within WindowEyes is for the key label dictionary, and that controls all the spoken announcements that you get in certain situations when you press keystrokes. Okay, so for example, if you press F1 within my SoundForge set files, before it tells you the total length of the file, if the verbosity mode is switched on, it says total length of file. Okay, and that's the kind of information that you get in a key file. Anyway, that was by way of deviation. I'm now going to copy all these to the Windows clipboard with Control-C, which I have done. And now I'm going to backspace
C
a couple of times.
List view.
I'm now going to focus on the A drive.
C. 3 Flapia.
And if I were to press enter, of course that would focus upon the contents of the disk in the floppy disk drive, and I'll just paste the files with control V, and it will copy the information onto the disk. And there, those files will be backed up, and should I wish to restore them, I can do that. The same approach can be applied to JAWS for Windows. This time what I'm going to do...
C.
Is again focus upon the C drive, and this time I'm going to go into the JAWS 4.0 directory or folder, whichever you want to call it. if you've got a previous version of JAWS, it might be JAWS 3.7U or JAWS 3.7, whatever.
JAWS 40.
And there it is, I'll press enter.
Windows Explorer. List view.
And what we're looking for this time is the settings folder.
Settings.
And enter again.
Windows Explorer. List view. File. New. One.
And that's, again, what we're looking for, the ENU folder. Now, that's not highlighted at this stage, so I'll just press the space bar.
New. One.
To highlight it and press enter.
Windows Explorer. List view. File. Factiv. 1/1076.
Now, as you can tell, there are a lot of files in here. And this is where all the scripts are installed. So let's see if I've got any scripts labeled Forge in this directory.
Forge.ini, 240/1076.
Yes, I have. I've got forge.ini, that's the first one. And if you've got JAWS 3.7, you certainly won't find that in there, because I don't think that JAWS 3.7 can read INI files. And by way of interest, the INI file actually contains specific information about the settings that you've previously used within the SoundForge application and JAWS. I think JAWS 3.7.1 actually can read an INI file, and JAWS 4, obviously, but not 3.7. Anyway, let's carry on with highlighting these files with shift and down arrow.
Forge.jbs. Forge.jcf.
Forge.jcf is the JAWS configuration file.
Forge.jfd. Forge.jff. Forge.jgf. Forge.jkm. Forge.jsb. Forge.jsd. Forge.jsh. Forge.jsm. Forge.jss.
And that appears to be the lot of those. So I'm going to again copy those to the Windows clipboard with Control C, and then I can, in Windows Explorer, focus upon the disk drive, the 3 floppy A drive, press enter, and paste the contents of the scripts onto a disk for safekeeping. And that's how you back up your scripts or set files. Just to reiterate and summarize, because this is important in view of installation as well, if you want to locate or install any set files, then you install them in the /winies, W-I-N-E-Y-E-S directory. That's where they all go. In the case of JAWS, it's /JAWS40, if that is your JAWS version number, or it could be JAWS 3.7U, as I say, whatever, /settings/ENU. Okay, if the scripts are not in that directory, then obviously you won't get the benefit of them. Let's talk about some places you can get WindowEyes set files and JAWS scripts from. Let's start with WindowEyes, because, to be honest, there aren't too many sites that are catering for WindowEyes set files. I'm going to mention just a few, and if you know of any more, then please do let me know. I'd be interested. the most obvious place is the GW Micro website. If you go to www.gwmicro.com/support, you'll actually find a set file link on the support page. And there are a lot of set files on the site for the latest version of the screen reader. And these are contributed, of course, by users and in some cases by GW Micro staff themselves. You can actually download the set files from there, and you can have a look at the README files to see whether they're going to enhance an application for you in a particular way, whether it's worth downloading the sets at all. You can also use my site, which is www.hartgen.org. There is a WindowEyes set file link on there. It's the last link on the page. And on there, because I've created quite a few lots of set files, you will find different set files for different versions of applications and different versions of WindowEyes. It's important to say, when you're downloading sets and scripts that you must make sure that you get the right package of set files for the version of the screen reader that you have. It is possible to get WindowEyes set files, for example, for WinEyes 4.0, and use them on WindowEyes 4.1. You'll have to convert them first, and if anyone wants some idea about how to do that, then let me know, by dropping me an email, perhaps, at Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at Hartran.org, and I'll explain it. It's very easy to do. So you can do that, and as I say, you'll have to convert them, and it's a different format. And again, similarly, if you have JAWS for Windows 3.7, then it may be possible to convert the scripts to version 4, although that is proving a little bit problematic in some cases. But it is possible to recompile the scripts, and again, I can provide some direction on that if people want it. Because of the significant changes within the structure of JAWS version 4, some of the scripts need significant reworking rather than just recompiling them to a different format. So it is more difficult in those cases. It is possible with either screen reader to go from an earlier version in most cases to a later version. What it's not possible to do is go backwards. So you cannot use WindowEyes 4.1 set files with WindowEyes 4.0 or 3.1, not only because it's a different format, but also, obviously, for those of us who've created WindowEyes set files for 4.1, we've obviously used some of the technology in 4.1 to our advantage in the set files, which isn't available in 4.0 or previous versions. So you really wouldn't want to try converting them. And this is what happens sometimes. People don't realise, and then they write to me and say, well, why aren't these set files working at all? And that's the reason. So what I've tried to do on my website is to clearly label each link so that you know which set files you're downloading for which version of the screen reader. I do provide set files for previous versions of WindowEyes. The GW Micro site doesn't do that, but I think it's still important because not everyone can afford the latest and greatest technology. So I've actually done that, and we go back to WindowEyes 4.0 at least. You can also look at the ACB Radio site, actually, www.acbradio.org. And there is a link there, and I think it's called Visit Our Download Page to Get a Player. And if you go into that area, you'll find some WindowEyes set files, certainly for Winamp, they're on there. And I think there may be some for RealPlayer as well, although I haven't looked at it for a while. But there may be. So that would be a good place to have a look at the set files on there, if you haven't got the Winamp set files, for instance. There are also on the ACB Radio page JAWS scripts for various applications as well, like Winamp and audio players. And that brings me nicely onto JAWS, and we can start with an excellent resource, which is Jim Snowbarger's website, and that's www.wwsnow.com. Jim is a very experienced scriptwriter, and he's created a whole heap of JAWS scripts for different applications. If you select the JAWS script page, then you'll get a list of not only what they are, but also you can get a description as to how the scripts work with a particular application, how it can be improved, and there are links to pay for the scripts on the site as well. Yes, they do cost money, and they are definitely worth the money. You often get what you pay for, and that is particularly true here, because there's a lot of time and effort that have gone into the development of these scripts. And in very many cases, although there are free scripts available for the same kind of applications that Jim has been working on, they don't come anywhere close to what Jim is offering in terms of the functionality that these scripts provide. Okay, so you do get what you pay for, but they are very reasonably priced. They range from anywhere between $15 and $30, depending upon the package that you're purchasing. You can also get some scripts, I believe, from www.freedomscientific.com, although I do think that they're for earlier versions of JAWS. I don't think there's too much up-to-date stuff on there. But another good source is the JFW Lite homepage, which is www.jfwlite.com. There is a JFW Lite mailing list from which this site derives, and I think the moderator of it is Debbie Scales, and obviously she's got a lot of knowledge, but I don't think she writes a lot of the scripts. I think she just moderates the list. But it's a very good source of assistance. If you haven't joined the JFW Lite mailing list, you might like to. As far as the scripts are concerned, what people seem to do is to donate scripts that they've written freely to Debbie, and she puts them on the site and lets people know through the mailing list of any updates to the site. There are a lot of applications on this site, pieces of software that you can download, and also the scripts to go with them. Dare I say it, there are lots of file sharing programs on here for music and so on. There are things like Audio Galaxy scripts, there are previous versions of Napster scripts on there. But there are also Eudora scripts, and I was mentioning Eudora earlier on. We're going to have a look at those. I think there are some scripts for End It All on there. There's a whole heap of them anyway, and it's definitely worth a look. What you have to do, I've just had a look, is go to the programs link on that page, and you will certainly see them there. And it's a very good site anyway, jfwlite.com. When you download a set file or script package from a website, they'll either be in a self-extracting .exe file or in a zipped archive, in which case you'll need a program like WinZip in order to unzip the archive. The files themselves are very, very small, but the .exe file or the zip format just is a convenient way to keep them grouped together. And what you'll do is you'll just extract them into the relevant directory that I detailed earlier, whether it's for JAWS or Window Eyes. So we've done enough chatting about it, and obviously you can explore all these different sites to find out all the scripts and sets that are available. But let's just round off with a few quick demonstrations of some of the advantages of scripts and set files. But let's talk about some of the sets I have on my site. Some good examples would be I have a lot of set files on there for different versions of SoundForge, for XP 4.5, 4.5 the full version, XP Studio 5.0 and 5.0. And if that's not confusing enough, there are set files for different versions of the Window Eyes screen reader as well. But the later versions of the sets for Window Eyes 4.1 and for SoundForge 5.0, the full version, have a lot of functionality in there. For example, you're able to scan through the audio a little like a CD player, very similar to Jim Snowbarger's scripts, and he started that off, I must say. Sighted people don't have that ability within SoundForge to be able to skim through the audio like that and to be able to hear exactly what it is that you're selecting. But Jim obviously found it very useful, and I think that's certainly the thing about most of us who create these things. We do use the files ourselves that we're creating, so we know that they actually work properly. And it is a very useful thing to be able to do. And I created that in the Window Eyes set files for SoundForge as well. There are lots of other features included. You can tell where you are in the file. You can tell how much sound you've selected in terms of hours, minutes and seconds. You can access the recording level meters and also the play meters as well. You can tell whether your recording is distorted or not. And a new feature that I've included was actually inspired by Jonathan Mosen's SoundForge tutorial that's available. When the recording level gets to the point where it's going to be distorted, in other words, where the value is greater than zero, Window Eyes will beep and it will tell you that it's distorting. But there are lots of other features as well, and a full list of them and explanations as to how to use them are contained within the documentation, within the README file that accompanies the set files. And that's another thing that I should point out as well. Most script and set file developers do provide some documentation that goes along with the scripts or sets, and these explain how to get the most out of the package that you've just installed. A lot of people don't actually read the documentation, unfortunately, and we don't write it for nothing. We write it because we want you to get the most out of the application and the sets or scripts. But a lot of people will perhaps write to an author and will say, I've installed these set files, now how do they work? Well, obviously, if the person has installed the set files or the scripts, they've got that information because the documentation is there. You've just got to read it. There's also the online help, which accompanies most of the scripts or sets. Certainly in the case of Jim Snowbarger's scripts, you can press Insert H, which will always give you a list of keystrokes that you can browse through. He put the browsing element into his scripts way before Freedom Scientific decided to do that within JAWS 4. And in the case of WindowEyes, you can press Shift-Control and F1, which will bring up a list of keystrokes as well. And I've tried to make that in all my set files as context-sensitive as it's possible to be. I've also got set files for Outlook Express and Eudora, Easy CD Creator, both versions 4 and 5, Microsoft Front Page 2000, and also Word 9, which is part of Office 2000. And these are the ones I want to give you a quick demonstration of right now. Now, you might say, well, why produce more set files for Word 9? There are already set files included with WindowEyes, which do a good job. And yes, there are. But there are a few things I didn't actually quite like about them, and these were personal preference kind of things, really. And I think that's the philosophy behind my set files, and it's why I don't charge for them. I produce them because these are applications that I personally work with on a regular basis, and I want to improve the performance of the screen reader with that application. Now, I'm quite happy to share the set files with you, and if they work for you, then that's absolutely fine. That's great. But principally, they were created for my use, but I'm just sharing them with you, and that's all there is to it. But anyway, there were things within the Word set files that I really didn't like. For example, if you press Alt-T, as we did earlier on, you hear a lot of information which you might not need. For example, it says normal, Times New Roman, 12-point, bold on, italics off, underline off, or whatever configuration you're using. Now, if you just want to find out whether a piece of text is in bold, or if it's underlined or italicized, you don't want to hear all that other information as well. Now, you might think I'm being a bit fussy, but if you're doing a lot of word processing, as I do, you want to hear specific information very, very quickly. And this is what I've introduced into my set files. So they're quite logical keystrokes. If you press Alt and 7, for example, you hear whether the text is in bold. You don't get all the other rubbish that goes along with it. If you press Alt 8, you get told if it's italicized, or Alt 9 is underlined. So if I just press Alt and 7 right now...
Bold on.
Exactly, that's all you get. What else have we got in here? Well, I wanted to know, when I was pressing Control and Page down to advance from page to page within Microsoft Word, or conversely, control page up, I wanted to know which page I was focused on, because there is not an easy way in WindowEyes to get the information very quickly as to which page you're focused on. You have to have a lot of other extraneous dialogue being presented to you as well. So what I wanted to do was to press control and page down and get the page number.
Page 2.
Which I've just done, and I'm automatically on page 2, and I'm advised of that. Now, if I want to have that information repeated at any time, I can press Alt-N.
Page 2.
Which will also tell me the page number. Now, something else which I've recently included, if I press Alt and comma, that puts us into an extended verbosity mode, if you like, where we get a lot of additional information spoken automatically, which we might want, because it may be important to us to know when we get to the bottom of a page or when we start a new page within a document. So if I just do that now,
verbosity on,
and it says verbosity on. Now, as you know, I'm at the top of page 2 at the moment because I pressed control and page down, which would have advanced me to the top of page 2. So theoretically, if I press the up arrow key, WindowEyes should read out the line of text that's at the bottom of page 1 and should say page 1. So let's just try that.
Blank. Page 1.
Actually, it was a blank line at the bottom of page 1, but there we go. So we were advised automatically when we were on a new page. And if I arrow down at this point...
Dear Education Officer, page 2.
We get the first line on page 2. and it automatically says page 2 as well, so we get advised of that as we go along. So that may be important to you if you're proofing a document. You might want to know where the new page exactly starts. Now, something else which is controlled in this mode is it advises me of the heading style that's used. And this could be important when you're proofing a document as well, because you want to have maximum control over layout. So if I just press Control Home here,
the statementing maze, there is a way through. Page 1. Heading 1.
We get advised that it's in the Heading 1 style. Now I'll arrow down.
Blank. Normal.
And it goes to normal, because the next part of the text is going to be in the normal style rather than Heading 1. So, there we go. That's another added feature which is quite useful. I'll just turn the verbosity mode back off with Alt comma.
Verbosity off.
I've also included a table mode, which goes some way towards reading columns within tables you might create. Reading tables has always been a bit of a problem with Window Eyes, and the table mode, which I've included, as I say, does help in that regard. So those are my Word set files, and you may like to try those out along with some of the other sets on my site. What I'd like to do now is go over to JAWS for Windows and demonstrate an aspect of, and in this way the files would work to a point with version 5 of SoundForge. But it was only to a point, and it really is not a satisfactory solution. But this seems to be what's happened with version 4 of JAWS for Windows. This seems to be the approach that they've adopted. They've just modified the SoundForge scripts in that way. And that, in my view, is no access to this application. Because while the basic functionality of the scripts may work, for example, you may be able to, with Shift, Control, and M, determine where you are in the file, and some of the selection parts of the script may work. So you may be able to be told how much sound you've selected in terms of hours, minutes, and seconds. A lot of the sliders don't work at all. For example, in the Mix Paste dialogue and in the Graphic Equalizer dialogue, because the Graphic Equalizer is totally different in SoundForge 5 anyway, so the scripts couldn't possibly work in that situation. That seems to be what's happened in version 4 of JAWS. It's not a good solution at all. So I came to the conclusion that if I really wanted to use JAWS at all with SoundForge 5, then I had to purchase Jim Snowbarger's scripts, because they're the only scripts which really do give true access to version 5 of SoundForge with JAWS for Windows. And while I could have used my own Window Eyes set files, why should I swap screen readers just to get some performance with the application that I want to use? So that was the road I went down, and I was glad I did, because they are very good scripts and they do work. And of course they've got all this extra functionality, this scanning functionality and so on, which I'm going to demonstrate now, because it hasn't been demonstrated on main menu, so some people might not know what I'm talking about. Okay, the first thing I'm going to do is to extract a track from a CD, and I want to do this because there's something in these scripts which you might like. I'm going to press Alt and T for the Tools menu.
Menu active. Tools. Audio play container. U.
And arrow down.
Create CD. C. Extract audio from CD. E.
And that's the option that I want, and we can hear JAWS for Windows of version 4 telling us the shortcut key, which is E for future reference. So I'll press Enter.
Leaving menus. Extract audio from CD dialog. OK button.
And I'm going to tab around.
Cancel button. Help button. Refresh button. Play button. Alt P. Speed combo box. Max. Read my tracks radio button checked. List 1 list view. Not selected 01 audio 00 colon.
Okay, it's running a bit fast, but for the purposes of this, this is not a tutorial anyway, so you don't really need to hear too much of what's going on. I'm going to arrow down, though, so that I've selected track 1.
01 audio 00 colon 02.00.
And if I want to check that that's the correct track, I can preview it with Alt-P.
Alt-P.
And that's it. And this is why I'm demonstrating this part of it, because when I press Enter, we're going to get one of the functions of the JAWS scripts, because what it's going to do is extract this track that I've selected to a WAV file, and you will hear JAWS announcing the percentage as it ticks up, okay, as to how this is getting on. So I'll press Enter now.
Data window. 10.
And I can hear a knocking sound
20.
As well through the computer speakers. You might
30.
Not be able to hear that.
40.
but you can certainly hear JAWS 50. Telling you the progress of the conversion from 60. CD to the WAV file.
70.
And it's not babbling too much, it's giving us sensible percentage values.
90. 1:4096.
Okay, announcing the zoom ratio there for some reason. But the process has come to an end, the knocking has stopped. So now I can press the space bar, and immediately we get the start of the track. Now let's say, for example, we wanted to skim through the audio because we wanted to mark the start of the chorus of this song for some reason that I've extracted from the CD. I'm going to start the playing of the file with the space bar, and then I'm going to skim forward through the audio with the arrow keys and locate the part of the file that we want, which is the chorus. I'm just arrowing through really fast. I can hear we're getting there. Okay, I'll leave it there and we'll get to the chorus. So all I need to do, I've paused it at this point, I'm going to back up a little bit with the left arrow. Right, we're just about there. Okay, that'll do for the time being. There are lots of ways that you could do this with these scripts, but I'm just going to drop a marker right here, which I have done with the letter M. I'm now going to go back to the top of the file.
Start a file.
And press the space bar so that you can hear we're at the beginning of the file again. I'm now going to press Control and right arrow to jump to the marker. Cool. The scripts automatically start playing. No messing around at all. If I want to find out the time of the marker, in other words, at how many minutes through we are, I can just press Alt-Control-M.
At marker 49.305 seconds.
And it says at marker 49.305 seconds. If you wanted to delete that marker, if you didn't have these scripts installed, you would have to go through quite a complex process in order to do that. All we have to do here, though, is press a shortcut key, which is Shift, Alt, and M.
Marker deleted.
And there it is, it's gone. No worries. And that's one of the things I really like about the scripts, because I insert a lot of markers into my recordings. And to get them out in that way when you've finished the project is a great thing to be able to do. The other scripts that I have from Jim Snowbarker are the MSN Messenger scripts, and these are really good. Just briefly, I'll tell you about them. The first thing is that they make modifications to the default .jcf file, which is the default JAWS configuration file. In order for this to work properly, you need JAWS version 4 build 103 installed on your computer. If you don't have that and you install this modified default.jcf file, you could find that JAWS will be screwed up big time. Okay, and you do get clear warnings about this from Jim, obviously, and if you had a previous version of JAWS, you wouldn't be getting this added functionality within the script. But in essence, if these latest scripts are installed in the correct build of JAWS, it enables JAWS to inform you when one of your contacts has come online. This is very similar to the Window Eyes functionality of reading items that flash in the system tray, which it does in version 4.1 automatically without any scripting. But these scripts go a stage further. If you missed the announcement, you can press a keystroke, which is Shift-Alt-F12, I think it is. And if you press that keystroke, JAWS will repeat the information, but it will also tell you the time the person signed in. These scripts provide other functionality, of course, as well. You're able to be told when a person is typing a message, and that is controllable. You can turn those messages on and off. You can have the choice of hearing a clicking sound if you want to, when a person is typing a message. And I'll try and demonstrate that in a moment if there's anybody available to talk to within my list of contacts. When a message arrives, it will be automatically spoken and read out for you, so there's no need to tab around from window to window in order to take part in a conversation. If you've missed the message for some reason, you can have that repeated. You can also have up to the last 5 messages repeated, in fact, with all different keystrokes, which centre around the grave accent key, which is to the left of the figure 1 on the main QWERTY keyboard. You can assign up to 4 different hotkeys to reflect four instant message conversations. So should you really want to have four conversations going on at once, you can assign a hotkey to each of those and flick between them at will. You can also bring up a list of emoticons as well. Emoticons are graphical images which represent feelings. For example, a smiley face. You can type these characters into your message and they will be represented at the recipient's end of the conversation as a graphical image. But rather than remember all these series of characters, which are quite complicated actually, there are over 30 of them, Jim has put these into a list box, and you can actually bring up the list box and browse to the one you want. For example, as I say, a smiley face it might be, and that series of characters is automatically inserted into your message. So that's really quite clever. So they're just some of the things that are in these scripts, and what I'll do is I'll try and find somebody to talk to, and we can have a listen to how effective they are. Now, I've got one of my contacts online at the moment. Her name's Tracy Gorman, and she may be willing to have a quick chat with us. So I'm going to arrow to her name.
Tracy.
And press Enter.
Tracy Instant Message.
And I'm going to type a quick message to her. I'm going to say, hi, Tracy. I am recording a demonstration at the moment for the main menu program on ACB Radio of MSN Messenger. Could you please do me a favour? Made a mistake there. And reply to this message. And I'll press Enter.
Brian Houghton says.
To send that message. Okay, now, Jaws was just going to read out the message that I sent, but I silenced that with the control key. So in a moment, Tracy should reply. And if you want to check the status at any time of whether a person is replying to you or not...
Tracy is typing a message.
That's great. You can always do that with the F12 key. I didn't do that at this stage, but hopefully Tracy's message will be read out by Jim's scripts for Jaws in just a moment.
Tracy says, yes, what do you want to do for it?
I'll just type back to her now, but before I do, I'm going to turn the typing sound on at this point with Shift-Control-F12.
Typing sound is enabled.
Okay, so that when Tracy replies next time, you're going to hear a clicking sound while she's typing. Okay, and that will indicate to us that she's replying to us. So I'm going to type, thanks for replying. I am actually recording this at the moment. I hope the weather is not too cold in your part of the country. And I'll press Enter.
Brian Houghton says, thanks for replying, I am...
When you really want something to say, you can't think of something that's really productive, but that's the best I can do at the moment. Now, as I say, we should...
Tracy is typing a message.
There we go. We've got Tracy's typing a message, and now we're getting the clicking sound, which will stop when she's finished... And Jaws will read out the message, as it did before.
Tracy says, well, it is raining at the moment and my guide dog got wet and I had to dry her when I got in the house.
Oh, right. I'll type, I know the feeling. Although it is really... quite sunny here at the moment. And I'll turn the typing sound off this time.
Typing sound is disabled.
And press Enter.
Brian Houghton says...
When she replies this time, I'm going to show you how the different keystrokes can work for repeating messages. Okay, she's typing back. And notice I'm not tabbing from window to window here at all. I've stayed exactly where I am, so I'm just... enjoying the conversation as it's going through.
Tracy says, I didn't know that you were doing this for main menu. I listen to it all the time when I can listen to it.
Oh, well, that's really good. You've obviously got a fan there, Jonathan, of the main menu program. Now, what I'm going to do is press the grave accent key.
Tracy says, I didn't know that you were doing this for main menu. I listen to it all the time when I can listen to it.
And that's what she just wrote, obviously. Now, if I press Control and grave accent...
Two. Brian Houghton says, I know the feeling, although it is really quite sunny here at the moment.
And if I press Shift-Control-Grab accent...
3. Tracy says, well, it is raining at the moment and my guide dog got wet and I had to dry her when I got in the house.
So it's telling us the number of the message itself, but also, of course, it's reading that message out. So that last one was the third from the last one we had, if you understand me. That was message number 3 that was previous. Finally, I'd just like to show you one aspect of the Eudora scripts, which I obtained from jfwlite.com. Now, these have been modified from the Freedom Scientific scripts, of course. They do contain a lot more verbosity than the standard scripts, which may be helpful to you. For example, when you press Control M, JAWS actually does say checking mail. When you press Control T, it says sending queued messages. Control E says queuing message and so on. These are really informal prompts that are given by JAWS when you use these scripts. But there is one other aspect which can be really quite useful and I really like. Let's say you've got a message from a mailing list. Normally within Eudora, when you press Control and R, that will enable you to reply to the message, but you'll be replying generally to the whole mailing list. In these scripts, there is a reply to author script, and if you press Control, Shift and A, JAWS will make it possible for you to reply to the sender of the message rather than the whole mailing list. So I'm going to find a message now. Here's a message that appeared yesterday on the PC audio list.
Dan Custodary, easy CD copy question.
Okay, now if I press enter on that,
Dan Custodary 12,
and I press Control and R, that will enable me to compose the message back to the PC audio list. But what I'm going to do is press Shift Control A.
Reply to author, please wait. Tap the control key to stop speech and tap your message now.
It advised us to please wait while JAWS searched through and found the author's name. Okay, and that has now been transferred to the to field. What we could do is type the message at this point because we're in the message body window at this stage. And when you've finished typing the message, you can press Control and E to put it in the queue. But what we're going to do is just to tab to see that JAWS has done its job correctly.
To edit. Dan Custodary, dhk55.net.
And that appears to be his email address, rather than the pc-audio@yahoogroups.com address. So that's pretty good, I think. And that's just one advantage of using these additional Eudora scripts, which are available from the jfwlite.com site. And that brings me to the end of this article. Obviously, there will be things that I haven't actually covered, and if you want me to talk about anything else relating to scripts and sets, please email me direct, or perhaps contribute to the ACB Radio Friends list, and I'd be really keen to come back and answer whatever questions you have. But for the time being, it's Brian Hartchin saying goodbye for now, and enjoy playing with the scripts and sets, won't you? I hope that they're really useful to you.